It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is The Inner Life on Irrelevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
And hi again, everyone. I'm Chuck Neff. Thank you for joining us on The Inner Life, our program about spiritual direction, coming to you every weekday to give you a little bit of help and a little bit of hope on your journey of faith. It's great to have all of you with us today. And today we're going to be talking about living our life without God. And so what happens when we stop trusting that God is who he says he is? What happens when maybe because of the turmoil and chaos in our world today, or because our own lives have become so dark and lonely, we can't see God anymore. We just quit believing in God. And so what is life without God? You know, and a lot of people live their lives that way, and maybe you. And so the real question becomes, without God, what does life look like? And then how do we do that? How do we live without God? Well, we're going to talk about that today. Father Jeremy Plouffe is our spiritual director. I think we're still trying to get a hold of Father Jeremy, so we'll keep doing that. But Father Jeremy is a priest in the Diocese of St. Cloud, Minnesota. He is pastor of three parishes in the Diocese of St. Cloud. And again, just talking today about living our life without God. As we do every day, we will open up our phone lines, inviting you and our listening audience to join us on the program today. And looking at an article the other day, William Kirkpatrick is a prolific author, and he was just talking the other day about a quote from G.K. Chesterton. It says, he becomes capable of, when we cease to believe in God, man becomes capable of believing in anything. And it looks like we may now have reached the anything stage of human history. And Jim Shaper in the producer's seat today. Jim, do we have Father Jeremy or not yet? Not yet. Okay, so we're still trying to get Father Jeremy, and we'll wait till we get him on board and get going. But it's so interesting. I mean, when you think about living your life without God, what's that like for you? Have you probably done that? I think we all do that. One of the points we're going to make is that we all believe in something. We all have a God, and maybe it's that God that we all love and cherish, God with a capital G, but we all have gods. We all have those things in our life, and call them gods with a little g. And sometimes it's power, sometimes it's prestige, sometimes it's money, but there's something in our life that we turn to, something in our life that we get up in the morning for. And what God is that? And sometimes the God of the universe kind of slides down our priority list, because all of these other things, all of these other gods with the little g's in our lives tend to creep up, and all of a sudden they take a bigger priority in our life than the God of the universe, the God who loves us and the God who cherishes us, who's calling us into something more. And again, Father Jeremy Plouffe is our spiritual director. And Jim, I think we still do not have him, correct? Okay, we do not. So let's do this. We need to take a break, and let's do that. And so let's, in fact, let's open up our phone lines. If we can get everything together today, we'll do that. Let's take a break here, and let's play today's gospel. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is today's gospel reading from the New American Bible.
Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Jesus entered the synagogue. There was a man there who had a withered hand. They watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here before us." Then he said to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" But they remained silent, looking around at them with anger and grieved at their hardness of heart. Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him to put him to death.
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. Call in now to share your story with our Inner Life Spiritual Directors. 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
All right, we're back. Thanks for joining us today on The Inner Life. I'm Chuck Neff. Jim Schaefer sitting in the producer seat today, and Jake Moore answering your phone calls. And Father Jeremy Plouffe is our spiritual director. I think we are finally connected with Father Jeremy. Father Jeremy is a priest in the Diocese of St. Cloud, Minnesota, pastor of three parishes in the diocese, talking today about living our life without God. And let's open up our phone lines. If you'd like to join us, it's a toll-free phone number, 888-914-9149. Don't forget, you can email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. But as you think about your journey of faith, life without God, when have you tried to live your life without God, and what was that like? And then, you know what, maybe a time when you realized that living your life without God was, can we say, maybe a dead end, not something you wanted to do anymore. We'd love to hear the story. Again, if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. So Father Jeremy Plouffe, hello, welcome, good to have you on the program today.
Thanks, Chuck. It's one of those things, it's like at Mass, when the microphone doesn't work right when Mass starts. You know, it's one of those kind of things when you're live.
Well, I always like to remind everybody this is live radio and things happen. So we're moving on. So, but hey, it's great to have you with us today. And get us started here. And life without God, I mean, I don't know how people do that. Certainly some do, some try. But what are we without God?
You know, absolutely, and I'm going to go against my own instincts in how I start here, because when I was growing up, I can't speak for you, Chuck, or anyone else, but growing up, my dad was the king of cheesy jokes, and I promised myself as a little kid, I'm not going to be the person who tells the cheesy jokes, but I can't help myself. I'm a son of my father, and so there's a cheesy joke that I wanted to start off with just to kind of set the stage here. So I remember hearing this joke actually from my own pastor when I was growing up. Father Schultz told us this joke at one point when I was really small. He said, there was a scientist who was an atheist, he said, and this atheist scientist was going to have a conversation with God, which obviously, of course, this doesn't make sense. If you're talking with God, you can't be an atheist. But be that as it may, this scientist was talking to God and said, you know what, God, we've studied not just chemistry and biology, but physics and astrophysics, and we really don't need you anymore. And so thanks for teaching the kids not to lie and all that, but we can say goodbye now. And so God says to the scientist, well, before I go, why don't you and I play a little game? And God suggests to the scientist, let's have a human-making contest. Let's build humans together, and we'll see how one another. And the scientist gleefully accepts the challenge and starts pulling together his test tubes and other various implements. And God says, hold on, wait. We're going to do it the same way I did, from the dirt of the ground. That's how we're going to do it. And so the scientist rolls his eyes and says, well, it might take me a bit longer than with the test tubes, but fine. And so bending down to the earth, the scientist picks up a couple handfuls of dirt, and God interrupts him a second time and says, wait a minute. Get your own dirt. it's a terrible cheesy joke, but the point is, God is all. God is everything. God even created what we have and what sometimes people use to reject God with. And so to that end, I think the best place to start is usually sacred scripture. And St. Paul's letter to the Romans, Chuck, he anticipates, it seems like, and this timelessness of scripture. St. Paul, I mean, in so many of his letters, when I read him now, I just think it's like St. Paul was talking to us in the 21st century. I mean, of course, St. Paul was writing in the mid to late first century, but so many times, I can't say this enough, when I read St. Paul's letters, I feel like he just wrote this the other day. And in the first chapter of Romans, St. Paul is reminding everybody, don't forget what happened to the Hebrews shortly after their escape from slavery. And St. Paul writes, this is Hebrews chapter 1. He says, they became vain in exercising their reason, and senseless became their minds and darkened. While claiming to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of God for an idol made of gold. And so God handed them over to the of their own hearts. And it just seems like in St. Paul reminding us of what happened to the Hebrews shortly after their escape from slavery in Egypt, once they got prosperous, you might say, and like, finally, we can do what we want, they went over the top, you might say. And rather than just accepting like the freedom to follow God's will, they said, now that we have freedom, I'm just going to do whatever I want right now and grasp at straws even. And St. Paul is telling us in the first century, in the 21st century, and every other time as well, let's not confuse freedom to follow God, freedom to actually be faithful. And don't confuse that with freedom to just do whatever, goodness sakes, my whims might say to do right now. And so when St. Paul says God handed them over to the impurity of their own hearts in claiming to be wise, they became fools. That's what it looks like without God. When we stop believing in God, when we stop recognizing there is an ultimate authority, there's a guidance in the chaos of life, we become fools, though we claim to be wise.
Father Jeremy Plouffe is our spiritual director, talking today about life without God. Phone lines are open if you'd like to join us. Toll-free number 888-914-9149. And when have you tried to maybe live your life without God in your life? What was that like? And maybe a time in your journey of faith when you said, this isn't working. What happened? We'd love to hear the story. And again, toll-free phone number if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. 4-9. And I know, Father Jeremy, when I start thinking about this and praying about this, and I've had conversations with an atheist or two, and with a couple on the program, when we talk about is God who he says he is, I mean, he either is or he isn't. For somebody who doesn't believe in God, and for somebody like me and like you who do believe in God, one of us is right and one of us is wrong. There's no middle ground on this, is there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's one of those, like, we can always differ in opinion, like, do you love Italian food or not? I mean, I'm one who does love Italian food, but I certainly can respect someone who's like, you know, pasta isn't my favorite thing to eat. Well, fair enough, right? But God either exists or he doesn't. He is who he says he is or he's not, right? There's not that same kind of diversity of opinion with, like, well, what's your favorite food to have for supper? Right? This is a bigger, more important, more weightier, and definitive question, right? And that's where I think the Hebrews, you know, and the story of the Old Testament is just so profound, how God constantly reaffirms who he says he is with the covenant with Adam, and then with Noah, and then Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and finally David. God constantly reiterates again and again, I am who I said I was. I'm still faithful to these covenants. And humanity just time and time again says, you know, sometimes I just rather do what I want. And maybe even the Tower of Babel is a nice example where God comes down to see what humanity thinks is wise. And the whole story of the Tower of Babel is we will build something so tall and so wise that we will rise above Almighty God. And it's so perfect how the sacred scriptures say when they're constructing the tower, God comes down to see what's going on. No matter how tall our wisdom seems to be, God's wisdom is always much higher than that.
Yeah, and then Father Jeremy, I've said it, tried to make the point at the top of the program, that we all have a God, we all have something that we believe in, we all believe in something, and maybe it's not God, our the God of the universe, but we all have something that gets us up in the morning, and these become what I like to refer to as the gods with the little g's, and it's money, it's power, it's prestige. And so we may not believe in God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We may not believe in the God of the universe who created us, but we all believe in something, don't we?
Absolutely. And in some cases, without saying it in so many words, we will deify, create ourselves to be God. We'll deify humanity. And as a parish priest, we see this all the time. People won't say in so many words, I am the most important thing in the world, or I am the God of my life. People won't say that in so many words, but their actions will show us that's what they think is the most important thing. They'll either say, like, you have to accept what I want, or you're out of my life. Sometimes I hear this from people who are about to reject the church. They'll say to me, Father, you either have to say what I'm doing is okay, or I'm leaving the church. It's like, well, goodness sakes, I mean, if we're making ourselves the principle of what is right and wrong, then we've made ourselves into God. Again, people won't say that in so many words, I'm God, or I'm the most important thing, but we'll get into this unfortunate corner, this really kind of dark corner, where we'll say, I will have this be right. And if anyone else is willing to say that's right, well, then you can come into my circle. If you're not willing to agree with what I think, then I reject you, right? That's taking ourselves into God. And certainly it can be money, it can be power. It can just be like a way of thinking, or it can just be a principle of morality or immorality. And people will say, like, I will reject the church, I'll reject the faith if it disagrees with what I think is right and wrong. And that's where we create ourselves into God and sort of implicitly reject God, because we're saying, I get to decide what's right or wrong.
Yeah, and then Father Jeremy, should we make the point that for those of us who do believe in God, that we do believe that God is who he says he is, but these other little gods in our lives, I think the reality is that so often the God of the universe starts to get pushed down our priority list. Suddenly my job is more important. A little bit of more money would be more important than whatever else is going in my life. And so all of these other things in our life really do begin to take a higher place on our priority list, and they become what we seek, and they become what we want to live our life the way we want to, and maybe not exactly the way God wants us to.
I think that's excellent, and that's a really good point, because we all have to continue to convert ourselves and say, it's even though I might make a point of coming to Mass or say my before meal prayer, exactly right, other things can nudge out God as number one. And I think even for some concrete examples, we might say, like, well, I would come to the Holy Day Mass, but I have this other thing going on. Maybe that other thing is something as simple as a family party, or maybe it's a sport event that my kid is in, or that I myself am part of. And these things might edge us out, or even our financial contributions to the parish might say, well, I would give more, but I'm going on vacation, or I would give more, but I'm buying this equipment for my sports team, or whatever. And they just, as you say, Chuck, just implicitly edge out the holy faith, or edge out God himself. And it's one of those things of, you know, Mass should be our excuse for missing everything else. But again, so often parish priests have to hear from people saying, you know, I would come, but there's a football game at that same time, or I would come, but we have this other event that we're doing. And it's one of those things that we always have to check ourselves, that to be part of the holy faith, to be a strong Catholic, to be a whole Christian, it requires sacrifice. It's not just a decoration we put on ourselves, I love football and I'm Christian. It's who we are, and it requires us to sacrifice. Maybe it requires us to sacrifice being the number one person on our team. Maybe it requires us to sacrifice the vacation that we might otherwise have wanted. But to be Christian and to have God as number one in our life, it's going to require us to sacrifice other things.
Yeah, and I think that's such a good point. In my notes, when I talk about the Blessed Mother, I think here is this beautiful young lady named Mary who is going to say yes to God to be the mother of Jesus Christ. And what a privilege and what an honor and what a fiat for all of us. And then you know what? You just kind of think that somebody like that, life would be pretty easy. And we know that it wasn't. I mean, from the birth to fleeing to Egypt to standing at the foot of the cross, life for
Absolutely.
Our Blessed Mother was not easy. And so I think sometimes we think, I'm going to believe in God and I'm going to live my life for God. And we think it's going to be easy. And to your point, it's not. It takes sacrifice and suffering is involved.
Absolutely. You know, people will ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Or, hey, you know, I came to Mass. How come I had a crummy week at work or whatever? You know, I prayed and I didn't make varsity on my team. What went wrong here? It's like, well, being a Christian, it's sacrificial. I mean, Christ on the cross, that is the pinnacle moment in the Holy Faith. That's what we have in the front of all of our churches is Christ on the cross. This is what it's all about, right? It's you know, you have to put in a lot to the Holy Faith, and sacrifice is just the name of the game. It's not just this jewel thing or this magical thing that everything will be fine now because I labeled myself Christian. It's we have to do the hard work as Christ did, and I think your example of Blessed Mother is just spot on. Of an outsider might say, well, she must have had an easy life. She's the mother of God, right? How be really smooth sailing for her? It's like, well, no, she sacrificed an awful lot from the first moment to the end, as Simeon said she would. A sword will pierce your heart. When she came to present the Lord in the temple, Simeon said to Mary, a sword is going to pierce your heart.
Father Jeremy Plouffe is our spiritual director. If you're just joining us, you are listening to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app, coast to coast and around the world, talking today about living our life without God. And if you'd like to spend some time with Father Jeremy Plouffe, a priest in the Diocese of St. Cloud, we invite you to do that. Toll-free phone number if you'd like to join us on the program, 888-914-9149. And as you think about your journey of faith, life without God, when have you tried to live your life without God? What was that like? And then, you know what, maybe a time when you realized that wasn't really working and you didn't want to do that anymore. What happened? What turned you around? We'd love to hear the story. And again, toll-free number, 888-914-9149. So, Father Jeremy, when we talk about living a life without God, as I like to say, put some flesh on that for us. You've touched on it a little bit, but it's such a godless world these days. We're seeing it in so many ways. But living our life without God, what does that begin to look like?
Yeah, and I think we'll see like wisdom fade away, and it's a hard thing to describe because it's just like what happened here? What happened? And I think if I can give an example from my own life, and I'll admit this is rather embarrassing for a priest to admit, but there was a point in college where I stopped going to Mass, not for long, but for a couple of weeks, and it was just, I remember it was when I needed Mass the most, when I had the grace of the Eucharist the most, that's when I stopped going. I was midway through college and stressed out, difficulties with papers, tests, and all the rest of school going on. And I stopped going to Mass, and it was just the hardest time for me. And I'm very, very happy to report that when I was just getting all the most frustrated from not being at Mass, I was things were getting worse, not better in college. And I just happened to be checking my email when campus ministry, I went to a Catholic university, they sent an email when I just happened to be checking my email saying, confessions are starting in 5 minutes, hurry to the chapel. And I just knew I had to go. And I went to confession, and I confessed that I hadn't been to Mass in a month or so. And the priest very, very kindly invited me back to Mass, and that's where things started to turn around. But concretely, as you say, Chuck, I mean, you just St. Thomas Aquinas was so good at saying, God has given humanity the passion and the wisdom to understand how he has designed the world. I mean, looking at science, studying science, all types, it's a very Christian thing to do. And so when humanity starts saying, well, you know, maybe even though we can say through genetic testing and looking at our blood, like, here's what's going on in a human being, like, this is a male and this is a female, you know, without God, we're starting to even see how humanity's rejecting, like, concrete science. Like, we can see from testing our genes, like, yeah, this is a male and this is a female. But without God as you know, guiding us and as our strong highest principle of discernment here, we're seeing that even that is being set aside of, like, no. It's baffling to me because it seems to be even pushing scientific advances aside in favor of, like, the ancient Hebrews following their own whims.
Well, and I referenced, while we were trying to connect with you, I referenced an article that I know you are aware of, and it was by William Kirkpatrick. And to your point, there's just a great little quote that he has in this article. And to your point, he says, having shaken off belief in God, people are not becoming more rational, they're becoming more gullible. They believe that babies in the womb aren't really human beings, that same-sex marriage is the equivalent of real marriage, that there are roughly 52 varieties of gender, that boys can become girls and vice versa. In general, they believe that wishing makes it so, and he goes on to say that science is solidly on the side of those who say that babies are babies, that boys cannot become girls. Yet when science comes into conflict with today's magical beliefs, it is rejected out of hand. And he goes on to say, for many, the ultimate source of truth is not reason or science or God, but feelings. And I think that's such an important point, that we're just, we have this objective truth that God is who he says he is, but sometimes we just don't want to believe that. It doesn't feel right. It's uncomfortable. It hurts. It's all of the things we don't want. And so those emotions, those feelings then, so often dictate what we're going to do and what we're going to believe in.
Right. And that's a big tragedy. And that article was so well written. There's an old point in philosophy when they're talking about political philosophy, where many people have said to figure out who your ruler is, simply discover whom you cannot criticize. I'll say that one more time because it's just to make sure we wrap our minds around it. To figure out who rules over you, just discover who you are not allowed to criticize. And in the 21st century, it seems like we're not allowed to criticize feelings. We're not allowed to criticize how I or anyone feels about any issue. I mean, that's the thing where feelings will change left and right. I mean, just to go back to what I said earlier, you know, some people might not like Italian food now, but they might love it later in life, or the opposite might be true of just any kind of food. But we're talking about an objective God here. I mean, God is reason. God is rational. I mean, Christ himself is the Word. And it's one of those things of, like, God is not changing on a whim, or God is not, like, emotionally reacting to things. God is rational and trying to help us. And so when we're creating the level of emotion cannot be criticized, or even what I might want in the moment is not allowed to be questioned. I mean, we're reducing ourselves to children. And I mean, it's fun to see, like, sitcoms, and we can all laugh at a sitcom where they portray a child in a sitcom reacting emotionally and not able to see, like, yeah, you can't have candy for dinner, or or no, you can't just spend all day, you know, jumping in the puddles outside in the rain. You know, it's fun to laugh at that sort of a thing, but in rejecting, if we're going to shove God out of our way, we really reduce ourselves to children who are not able to rationally think about, well, I need to pay the bills, I need to make sure chores get done around the house and go to work and all the rest. We reduce ourselves to children who just simply say, here's what I want to do right now, and I'm going to go do it, rather than the responsibility of being a rational, reasonable adult.
Father Jeremy Plouffe is our spiritual director, talking today about living our life without God. And when have you tried to live your life without the Lord? What was that like for you? And was there a time maybe when you realized that living your life without God was, can we call it a dead end and not something you wanted to do anymore? We'd love to hear your story. If you'd like to join us, toll-free phone number 888-914-9149. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/forester.
Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio. Call in now to share your story with our Inner Life spiritual directors. 1-888-914-9149. That's 1-888-914-9149. This is The Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. Chuck Neff, along with Jim Shaper, sitting in the producer's seat today. Jake Moore answering your phone calls. And if you're just joining us, Father Jeremy Plouffe is our spiritual director. Father Jeremy, one of our regular contributors, a priest in the Diocese of St. Cloud, Minnesota, talking today about living our life without God. About 20 minutes left in the program. If you'd like to join us, toll-free phone number 888-914-9149. Our email address, innerlife@relevantradio.com. But life without God, when have you tried to live your life without God, and what was that like? And maybe you realized it wasn't going in a good direction, maybe you changed course. So we'd love to have you share your story with us. And again, toll free if you'd like to join us, 888-914-9149. And before we get to some phone calls, Father Jeremy, let me just follow up a little bit on your story about when you were in college, walking away from Mass for a couple of weeks. When you started to get and started to do that, were you aware that maybe you were, in fact, turning your back on God? Maybe aware that, yes, something was more important than God in your life?
I think it's fair to say that. I think it's one of those things where, you know, at the time, you wouldn't be able to articulate, or excuse me, I should say, at the time, I wouldn't have been able to articulate that so much. But it in this sense of, like, I felt, you know, just alone. I felt like, you know, God isn't helping me right now. And even just sort of like making other things more important. It's more important that I study and get good grades. It's more important that I pass this test and get an A on this research paper. That's more important. And I wouldn't have been able to articulate that so much. But as time wore on, and I certainly am aware that people have left the church for years, but for me, it really was a painful thing after 1 month of realizing, what have I done? I mean, especially being on the campus of a Catholic university, you would hear the bells ring for Mass. You could all across campus, you could hear the church bells ringing. Mass is going to start in 10 minutes. And when I realized I would even turn away, so to speak, from the ringing of the bells, like, yes, that's when I started to realize, what am I doing? This is not okay to do. That's when you start to have some self-introspection and start to think, wow, I've really made myself the most important person in the universe. And that's a real tragedy. Because, I mean, it just takes, you know, one test from a professor who's smarter than you to realize I'm not the most important and certainly not the most intelligent person in the universe.
Father Jeremy Plouffe, our spiritual director, talking today about our life without God. Let's take some phone calls, and let's start with Stan listening in Buffalo Grove, Illinois, on the northwest side of Chicago. Hey, Stan, thanks for the call. Nice to have you on the program today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. You're asking life without God. I was a cradle Catholic, full family Catholic, strong believers. I just cannot believe in a personal God. You look down the centuries of all the atrocities, the suffering. Look at the 20th century, just the atrocities in the 20th century alone with wars and stuff like that, people being butchered and slaughtered. God doesn't get involved. He just sits back and he watches this whole thing. People dying of cancer, all the diseases, everything like that. What kind of God would make something like that? What kind of God would stand for all this slaughter, all this here suffering and evil? So a creator, I believe in the creator, this looks like it's all well planned. But like even with Jesus, I mean, Homo sapiens were here 100,000 years ago. Adam and Eve were 9,000 years ago. So if there's no fall, there's no need for a savior. So that's just my view. That doesn't make me right.
Stan, I appreciate your question, your point here, because it's certainly something that when the United States was founded, it seems like a lot of the founding fathers, even of the United States, shared that idea that you're saying of deism is what it's generally called, where God is something like a clockmaker, you know, builds the clock, winds it up, sets it on the shelf, and walks away to tick as it might and let the gears turn as it will. And I will certainly reach out and say, you know, whether it throughout the centuries, and certainly the 20th century was a very dark century for violence. And yes, I mean, humanity at its worst, you know, you might say it, in wars and atrocities. And then I hear what you're saying about suffering, too. I mean, my own grandmother, may she rest in peace, died just over a year ago from cancer, and my grandfather, her husband, may he rest in peace, died of a heart attack, and it was really tragic and heartbreaking for our family. Hard to go through, hard to watch, hard to deal with. And so suffering, right, is certainly something where a lot of people say, well, where is God in all this suffering? That's certainly something that a lot of people will point to. And so, Stan, you're not alone at all in asking that question, like, what about all this pain and suffering? What about this? Where is the loving, involved, personal God in all of this? And while St. John Paul the Great, he wrote an encyclical on this, I believe in the 1990s, on human suffering, which I would commend to your reading, Stan. It's well worth the read. You know, encyclicals, you know, can be tough to get through, but it's well worth your read, John Paul II's encyclical on human suffering. But to kind of boil it down to just a couple of highlights, one of the things is that suffering is a sign of, and this is difficult to wrap our minds around, suffering, whether it be from an illness like cancer or being suffering from at the hands of other humans, it's hard to wrap our minds around, but it is a sign that God is trusting us to suffer along with Christ. And this is, if I may dare to say so, one of the most difficult things for any Christian to wrap their minds around, even a lifelong believer, is that suffering in itself is not a bad thing. And that's hard to hear, it's hard to accept, and I know for myself, when my grandmother, may she rest in peace, was dying, it was hard even for me as a priest to recognize this suffering is not in itself bad, whether it was my sadness or my grandmother's pain that she was going through. Suffering in itself is not a bad thing, because God himself is trusting us to walk with Christ to the cross, to Calvary Hill, to suffer along with him, and thus bring more grace into the world. That's not me. That's not my opinion. This is coming straight from St. John Paul the Great in his encyclical on human suffering. And that's a really, really hard thing. And it takes a whole lot of elbow grease, you might say, a whole lot of hard work and heavy lifting for any lifelong Catholic or Christian to wrap our minds around this. Suffering in itself, just the idea of suffering,
is not necessarily a bad thing, because Christ himself suffered for us, and so we realize a good can come from suffering. And that's something that I really would encourage all of us listening, I would really encourage all of us to try to spend some time in prayer. Help me understand, Almighty God, help me understand how suffering is not in itself a bad thing. Now, certainly to Stan, your point about war, violence done by humans, certainly, right, that's not a good thing at all. Where I certainly would not say in the slightest that people doing atrocities to other people is a good thing. Certainly not, right? We certainly can see that people, humanity, is capable of awful, terrible things. Humanity is certainly able to do that. This is not, I mean, a denial of God's existence. I mean, you can look back, as you referenced, the very beginning of the Bible, Adam and Eve and their children, Cain and Abel. You know, there was murder right there from the beginning. Right there in the very first chapters of the Bible, we see one human being murder another. And so this allegory of Genesis in the beginning, when we're talking about how humanity got started in its genesis, we see from the beginning humanity desperately needs a savior. From the very beginning, as you referenced Adam and Eve, that story, the stories of creation in Genesis, from the very beginning humanity needed a savior, because humanity left to its own devices. Cain, thinking that I can decide for myself what's good and what's bad, I'm not going to defer to God's judgment, Cain said. I'm going to say I get to decide what's good and what's bad and reject my brother Abel because I think better. I think right there from the beginning, humanity is in desperate need for a savior.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, Chuck? Hopefully.
Oh, yeah. And hey, Stan, if you don't mind, if I might ask you a question, and thank you for joining us today with a very honest comment on the program today. I'm just curious, growing up as a cradle Catholic and in your family, was there a point then when suddenly you began to wonder and start to have these kinds of questions?
Of course, yeah. I've seen, Reading at the history, they could talk about atrocities even in the right after early Christians, where Romans would dip Christians into pitch and light them up so they could light up a walkway, and all these here are different atrocities. And then we talk about Adam and Eve. If Homo sapiens were here 100,000 years ago, and Adam and Eve were here 9,000 years ago, how do we justify a fall in man or death? When Homo sapiens was here 100,000 years prior to the Genesis story. So there could be a literal Adam and a literal Eve, but that doesn't jive with Genesis. And, you know, if there's no fall, then there's no need for a redeemer. And Christ says, ask anything in my name and it shall be given to you. Maybe that was only directed as the apostles, because it doesn't work for everyday living, because people asking Christ's name to cure their loved one of cancer or whatever they're going through, it don't work. God does not answer prayers.
Yeah.
Stan, I certainly hear those difficulties, and I remember, I remember listening to a homily when I was I was just about to start seminary. Actually, I wasn't actually a seminarian yet. I remember hearing a homily based on that gospel where two or three of you are gathered, there am I in their midst, and ask of whatever you want. Who was preaching on that gospel said, hey, does anyone here think that the priest should have triple the salary he should now? And of course, you know, a few well-intentioned hands, you know, rose up, and he said, okay, let's have two or three of us gather and we'll pray for that and hopefully it'll happen, right? And I mean, I hope, Stan, I'm not trying to make light of the situation you're talking about or the struggles that you've had to come to where you are now. I'm certainly not making light of that. But there's something deeper than this surface level, like, okay, well, God is now my doing my bidding. If I just get two other people to pray with me and tell God, here's what's going to happen, then God is required to do that, right? And so it's tough to kind of make these shifts in our brain. But if we're going to interpret what Christ said there as, okay, well, all we need is three people to come together, and we say, here's what we want, we tell God that, and now God has to do what we want, we're making God our servant
rather than we serving God. And that's where things, it's not that it's complicated, it's just that we have to untangle this a little bit and say, if I just, all I need is two other people to pray with me about something, then I get it. Then we're making God sort of our subordinate. It's God works for us, if that's how it is. And we know, certainly, just from what God is and who God is, that's not the case. I think the Genesis thing we'll have to leave for another time, because I think we might be getting off track if we start talking about, well, was Genesis, when did Genesis take place? When did Adam and Eve exist? Is it just an allegory and about the first humanity and how humanity got to be fallen? I think that's a complicated question that we might need some biblical scholars to assist us with. But I think I would just leave it at, if we're going to say God has to do what we say, then we've subjugated God to us, and we've made ourselves the one who gets to be in charge of the universe rather than God. Yeah.
Stan, thanks for joining us today. Pleasure to have you on the program. Father Jeremy Plouffe is our spiritual director. Not a lot of time, but let's take another phone call. Joseph, listening in Sacramento, California. Thanks for the call and welcome.
Yes, hi. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Interesting subject this morning. I just have a comment. I have never had thank God for this grace, but never left my faith. No matter how down and how doubtful I became, two deaths in the family, those kind of things actually made me closer. But my comment this morning was this: I firmly believe, from my own reasoning, from a philosophical standpoint of view, that believing in a God is rather reasonable within reason. Because if you look at humans that don't believe in a God, they believe in something, primitive cultures, cultures that still live as if they live, with no modern society. They believe in something. So I think there is something within the human reason that just tells us that something beyond, why is there this much order in the universe? Why is there order, perfect order? Why do we humans... Why are we able to think? Why do we have insights? Why do we have will? Why do we have reason? And I believe science, rather than disproving God, only just sees God more. A branch of science that, discovers God's work. And another thing, just another comment I have is atheists that believe that we are just a happy accident, that we all came together, coalescing of the planets and our cells, DNA coming together and evolving. It's like saying as if the Bible came together through the explosion of a printing press. I just wanted to make that comment, Father and Chuck. Mm.
No, Joseph, I'm really glad that you did, and I think you said that so well. I've got many questions for you, but unfortunately, the clock is ticking here. I'm so sorry, but I think you make a bunch of really, really good points there. And I think of the French priest, Father Georges Lemaître, who was one of the first big positors of the Big Bang Theory. Initially, a lot of people, even in the scientific community, just instinctively rejected him and his thought, because he's like, oh, you're trying to create everything from a single point. You're going to call that God. I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing. But as you say, Joseph, science itself kind of points to, yes, there is an ultimate origin. And it is, I love how you said it too, Joseph, there is reasonability in recognizing the reasonable, rational God. And I think lastly, one more point I wanted to get in, that you said so many wonderful things, Joseph, that St. John Newman has a famous quote where he says, I might have 10,000 difficulties, but I have not a single doubt in God. 10,000 difficulties might come my way, he said, but not a single doubt. And I think that's so well said, Joseph, that I'm committed to recognizing Almighty God, And though, you know, I might have stumbling blocks along the way, I recognize that there's goodness in it. And if I can slide in one more story, this is not mine, I've heard this before, where there's a parish priest, if you imagine this story. This is just a fictional story to get at this point. There's a fictional priest whose rectory is several blocks away from the church. And so he leaves the rectory in the morning to head over to the church. And as soon as he shuts the door, he realizes he locked himself out of the rectory. And rather than getting frustrated, he said, "Thanks be to God." And then he's heading down the steps to the street level, and it's icy. He slips and falls, and once again he says, "Thanks be to God." He's walking along the street. A car sprays snow and slush on him, and rather than getting upset, he says, "Thanks be to God." And then finally, when he gets to the church, and he's all messy and wet and chilly, he says, "Thanks be to God."
Thanks be to God. Father Jeremy Plouffe, I've got about 10 seconds for a final blessing for all of our listeners.
May God, who loves you as a father, bless you now and always, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Jeremy Plouffe, thanks for joining us. Great insights for all of us today on The Inner Life. Stay tuned. We're celebrating Mass in about 60 seconds. And don't forget, 12:30 Central, The Faith Explained with Cale Clark, right here on Relevant Radio. Thanks for joining us. We're back tomorrow. Hope to see you then.